Hey, everybody. Welcome today to the Unconventional Journey Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Demers, and I'm joined by my buddy, old pal, friend, co-host, Cameron Fearing. How you doing, bud?
I'm blessed beyond all measure, man.
Blessed beyond all measure. I'm feeling that this week.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just walk through these halls and through the sanctuary and just around, you know, it's just like God's doing so much right now.
I'll tell you, it's the feeling of blessed. I was riding through town coming over here to the church a little while ago. And I tell you, in my spirit, I felt, I stopped at the stop sign down here in the middle of town. And I had that feeling. And I asked God, I said, is it ever going to get better than this? Because I feel like I am blessed in every way right now. Mm-hmm. And we go through those seasons when we're down. We go through those seasons when we can't get back up. But my season personally right now, even though there's a lot of change happening, and there is a lot of change happening right now, I feel like it's a season of blessings beyond all measure.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, I even, because, you know, when people would say, how are you doing? You're walking around, I'll be like, I'm good. But, you know, as Mark puts in our head, no, you're blessed beyond all measure. You woke up today, you've had food, you had a roof over your head. And I started going around, even at work, right? I work for the federal government. I start saying I'm blessed.
Yeah.
And what do they say mean by that? I mean, I'm like, God's working in my life.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. You know, I think part of blessings, and this is the topic we want to cover today, part of our blessings is the friendships that we have. And today, I want people that are listening to understand that friendship is not a lost art or whatever you want to call it. Friendship today is needed more than ever. I notice how desperately people need true friends and true connections with humans right now.
If people, I mean, just look at our friendship, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're brothers.
Absolutely.
You know, we're beyond friends. But when people look at our relationship and that, sometimes they're like, really? How much grief we give each other and everything else. But that's part of being friends is knowing how comfortable you are around each other.
Right, right. Well, we're comfortable around each other, but we're also serious with one another. We were having some serious conversations right before this.
Yep.
We also have a camaraderie, like mm-hmm. you talked about, but we have, I think, an intimacy where we are vulnerable at times. And yes. And I think that's a big piece that people are lacking in their friendship. And, you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 4, verse number 9, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And I wanted to read that because a lot of us miss the point of, I guess we live in a day where people are lone wolves or people are mm-hmm. wanting to be the star of the show, but they don't realize what they're missing out by having a true friend or a true companion, people that want to walk next to them, do life with them, and watch as they succeed, cheer when they succeed, and cry when they cry, you know?
Well, and people, I mean, don't want to go back into social media. We've talked about that in the past, but if you notice it says, how many friends do you have on Facebook? You know, and people are like, well, I have 2,000 friends, but do you know those people?
No.
Do you spend time with those people? Do you, you know, do anything besides post or look at other people's posts and get jealous of those posts?
Right, right.
I mean, so, I mean, friends, when you use the term friends nowadays, I think that the kids and those and the young ones coming up don't really understand what it means to be friends.
Well, this kind of explains it. If you were to move to the next verse in Ecclesiastes 4 and move to verse 10, it says, for if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up.
That's good.
That is good, because I think we miss out sometimes on having that friend that we know that, hey, if I fall, if I mess up, if I do something stupid, I don't have no one to call. I don't have no one to lean on. And if you don't have that person, you are missing out on life.
Yeah. I mean, that's very key. I mean, sometimes nowadays kids have a group of friends, and now I won't go into facts on certain things, but who will vote you off the island, basically, if you do something wrong. That's not a friend.
This isn't a sitcom show here, you know?
This is not a sitcom show. I mean, if
reality
those,
show, whatever.
Yeah. If that's what you're considering a friend, you need to really check your heart and what it means to be a friend. And you're laying it out there in Ecclesiastes, because there's friends that you'll fall and they'll make fun of you and not help you up. Is that a friend?
No, that's not a friend.
Absolutely not.
you know, I hear a lot of people talk about, well, I don't know how to make friends. I don't have any friends. Well, Proverbs says in Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I'm thankful for that last statement. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, we have to grasp that if we want friends, we've got to put ourselves out there. Too many people today are afraid of rejection. They're afraid of what people say. Be genuine. Learn about someone. The problem with us sometimes as humans is we want to always be talking about ourselves or our ideas or our ideologies or our hobbies or I. When if you want to be a friend, it starts by connecting with the person that's sitting across from you or with you and learning a little bit about them.
When you're fake, you get fake friends. When you're real, you get real friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is so well said. You know, we today live in a society and just it's a sad to see how many people are lost looking for real friends. You use the social media analogy a few minutes ago with how many people you have on there. It's just in general. I hear everybody say, well, that's my friend. That's my friend. I don't really know them. I have to tell people sometimes I like to think of you as a friend, but we're more acquaintances. We're not friends. Yeah. You know, there's a difference. We know each other. We're cordial with each other. We smile. We you know, we greet each other. We're always pleasant, but we're not really friends. We don't connect all the time. We don't talk all the time. We're not close. I think it's been a tainted version of the word friends that's been put out here in today's society.
Yeah. And Lisa gave me grief last night because I don't remember what I was doing, but next thing you know, I'm texting you. She goes, do we really need to have our houses like side by side so you can have the little telephones and strings and just communicate that way? That's a friend. You get excited to tell them things when good things happen because you know they're going to celebrate with you. They're going to pick you up, like you said.
Yes.
And they're going to be with you no matter what. Even if it's something that you have to apologize for to them, they're not going to turn their backs on you.
You said it as well as Proverbs 17:17, which was my next scripture. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity.
Ooh.
We don't get this, guys. I mean, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves when everything's good. A friend loves when you in some bad, deep stuff, right? and a brother, a true brother, we talked about our brotherhood, is born through adversity. When you face some stuff together, you know, why do you think military brothers are so close? You know, they're close because they've been in foxholes together with bombs going off. They've been on the real front lines, side by side, about to give their lives for one another.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is what I'm getting at today. You know, Proverbs 27:17 says, you know, iron sharpens iron. We today, and I know we're talking about brotherhood because we're men, but same thing with sisters. We need to sharpen each other. We need to be there to hold each other accountable. We need to be there to strengthen one another. We need to be there to add the edge to one another so we can grow together and walk in the wisdom of the Lord.
And that's why fellowship is so important.
Absolutely.
There's people out there wondering, why can't I have Christian friends? But immediately when service is over, they get up and leave, or they show up right before service starts. So you're never really trying to put yourself out there. Like you said earlier, if you want friends, you have to be friendly. Fellowship leads to connection. Connection leads to those bonds that ultimately lead to you being friends and brothers or sisters for the women. So, I mean, you have to be intentional. There's that word again, intentional in how you do fellowship.
You know, I'm going to say something controversial right now, but some of the loneliest people in church are people that go to mega churches.
Yeah.
Because even though the mega churches have everything, they have the connect groups, they have the ways to put people together, all that. The
kids programs, all that stuff,
People end up hiding in those communities. They get the word, they go home, and they're lonely.
It's so easy to hide in those.
So easy to hide in those. It's so easy to blend in, and nobody even know that you're there.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the size of our church right now, you can't hide.
No.
I mean, we'll find you. We'll say hi. We'll be friendly. We'll offer you, you know, a donut or a drink or something. But that's what I love about our church and where we are right now with our size and as we grow is it is a family. We truly have the best interests at heart for each one of us. We want to see each other succeed. We want to see the best. So And that's what I love about where we are right now.
And bringing it back to that, because we're talking specifically about church right now and church friendships. I know some of you that may listen to this may not have that. But, you know, the book of Hebrews spells it out very well in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That's important for us to get, exhorting one another so much more as you see the day. What day? The day of the Lord approaching. And today, I want us to understand that we need to be friends, we need to be brothers, and we need to do life together as people in the church, you know? Christ showed that to us. You know, John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And we saw Jesus give that display. What if we today would start having that kind of friendship, the friendship where we love one another through whatever's going on, no matter what the situation, we have each other's backs, we pray and we love and we care for one another.
You know, and when you think about friends and how big your friend groups are, you're not going to tell everybody in these friend groups everything. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a certain amount that you're going to trust with information and be vulnerable with.
Yeah.
I mean, we started, you know, when I was going to Life Community Church, we started in fellowship as a big men's group. And then we were sort of told, you know, you need to start small groups with men. And that happened. And we had about 8 men in my initial men's group that I meet on Thursday nights and stuff like that. But then we dwindled down to 2 or 3.
Right.
And once we got to the 2 or 3, everybody becomes more willing to share.
Right.
Because in that moment, you're going to share more when you know those people truly have your back.
You have the security of knowing that they're your friend.
Yeah.
They see you as a person. They see you as a person that cares. They love you because of that. And then you and them both can be vulnerable. And sometimes I think that's our problem. As humans in life, as church members, as whatever you want to say, we always want more, 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 when sometimes less is more. Sometimes having a handful of intimate friends is better than having 10,000 LinkedIn followers. I can say that because I have 10,000 LinkedIn followers, but I don't know, but probably 20 of them, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the thing we have to step back and say today. We have to say, okay, how are we looking at our lives? Are we living a fulfilled, happy, joyous life? Well, if not, maybe it's because we're living under false pretenses and we need to be real with someone and have them hold us accountable, be our friends, laugh when we laugh, cry when we cry, and celebrate with us when we need celebrations.
Yeah, I mean, I can count on my two hands on how many people that I allow to really speak into my life.
Sure.
You know, outside of my wife and things like that, because it is so important, because if you put those people in your lives and so-called friends, you know, let's take a look at high school. You know, my wife and I, we continue to try to instill into our kids, it's more important to have one friend than to have a group of friends.
Absolutely.
Because there's a yearning for a relationship. And I don't remember who I was talking with, but we were talking about it recently, is that yearning for a relationship is with God and God first and God alone.
Absolutely.
And once you get that, then those other relationships sort of fall in place. And friendship is another one of those. Because if you're putting your friend above you and you're putting your friend above God, what does it become?
It becomes an idol.
Absolutely. So that's why when we put God first in all relationships, we're able to build that relationship even stronger, because especially when both people are followers of Christ. Mm-hmm. And again, that goes back to making sure that you're putting the right friends in place with you, because if you have a friend who's secular, who's of the world and wants worldly desires, and now you have a friend and the devil telling you to go do something that's outside of what you're being called to biblically and through Christ, then it becomes even harder to follow the word and the whisper and those things.
Pick your friends wisely, right?
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, too many of us want friends so badly that we'll let anybody into our life and we'll let anyone speak into our life. And the fact of the matter is that there are people that we have in our lives that don't belong in our lives. And sometimes that's family. Sometimes that's friends. Sometimes that's people that are even in our church. But we need to know that we need to try the spirits to see if they're of God and see whether or not that person is trying to build you up or tear you down, whether that person is negative or that person is positive. And we need to understand that the people that are being negative influences on our lives need to get out, because it's a voice that you don't need in your head. To your point, the devil's after you like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, right?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, you don't need your best buddy to be that lion's tamer or whatever, sidekick. So come on, guys. We got to understand that we need to choose our friends wisely. You know, you become a product of your environment. You know, my dad used to say all the time, if you lie down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. And you know, at the end of the day, we need to know in our hearts that the people that we are around will affect us. If you have people that challenge you to go up to the next level and to give you a hand up and to help strengthen you, that is what you want in your life, as an encourager. But if you have people that are constantly pulling you and dragging you down, people that are constantly demeaning you, or people that are causing you to, basically struggle with your identity, I guess, is what I'm going at. You need to separate from those people, because they are not valuable to you in what God has called you into.
Because ultimately, what really matters, it's the end of the race.
Absolutely.
And we all want to be there with Christ in heaven.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you have to set yourself up for success.
Yeah.
In everything.
Absolutely. And my heart, when I read these verses and I look at, you know, Christ's example to us for friendship, you know, it's truly that sticking closer to the brother. It's truly loving with abandon. It's truly showing forth raw emotion, true relationship. You know, I wish people today would grasp the need of that. And I know I'm being repetitive, but I wish they just grasp the need to make one or two really close connections.
And I'll just throw one more example where Jesus, you know, with the disciples, especially with Peter, when he was telling them that he's about to go to the cross, and Peter said, "We will never let that happen." And what did he say? "Get behind me, Satan." Mm. Because he knew what he had to do, and he knew Peter would come along, but he did not need that coming at him at that time.
Sure. And you know, Peter loved God, God loved Peter, but you know, at times you have to make that statement, you know. Sometimes you have to rebuke, you know, and I wish people today would grasp that need to keep your life pure and holy first. Keep your life dedicated to Christ, living and walking close to Him before you ever have to. Some people are so desperate for friends, they'll do anything. They'll join crowds, they'll join clubs they don't need to belong to. They'll go down to the local bar scene and saddle up next to folks that are dealing with addiction, and you know, and it causes them to have a slight fill of their emptiness until they leave there, and then they're back open with a void again, you know.
Yep.
And it's sad to watch this happen over and over and over again. People trying to find fulfillment in whatever outside of Christ.
There's only one thing that'll ever fulfill that, like you said, just Christ. And I mean, and even in high schools, when you look at the high schools and back in our days and things like that, it was alcohol, it was drugs, it was sex, and it was all these things. You had to be doing these things to be cool. And if you wanted friends, those are the things you had to do.
Yeah.
And all said and done, that's the world trying to put additional doubt, additional regrets in your life to slow you down in the ministry that God may have for you.
Yeah, in the book of James, he calls it, he says, adulterers, adulteresses. He said, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? And when you read that, it's for us to grasp that enmity, the word enmity means a deep mutual hatred. God hates the world and the world hates God.
Yeah.
So why are we trying to be friends with the world? Why are we trying to be friends with the things that pull us away? Why are we trying to be friends with the temptations? Why are we trying to be friends with the things that are out to destroy us when God hates those things and those things hate God?
Because that's what's in our face all the time.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, TV is selling it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just advertisers for sporting events, alcohol. I mean, you can turn on the TV, and even though it might be right before a preacher comes on, say early in the morning, there's a sex phone hotline on, and it's like it's telling you all these things are normal, and it just destroys and manipulates friendships and all relationships.
Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad, and we need to check ourselves. You know, we've got to say, okay, God, what is it you want? You know, the James comes to me again in chapter 4, verse 3, where he says, you know, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss. And that you know, and that you may not, that you may spend it on your pleasures, right? That's that's what the world we live in today, to your point, where we live in that world where we're always wanting the next best thing. Mm-hmm. And then we pray to God asking him for the next best thing when we're not content with what he's given us.
Well, and you can relate that back to friends. Your friend you have now might be there for you, but they're not the popular friend. They're not the friend that everybody else really likes. So you may dump the friend you have trying to go to the next best thing, when the friend that you have right there and that God's put in your place is going to be the one that's going to be beneficial for you over a long period of time.
I'll tell you, that has proven itself to me through the years over and over and over again. You know, I only have, to your point, probably count them on one hand, people that I really trust and I'm really intimate with. And if I look back on those people, I'm not going to call them out. They know who they are. They're probably going to listen to this. Yeah. They're not always the folks that are center stage. Yep. Sometimes they're not the prettiest. Sometimes they're not the most well-spoken. Nope. But we've sat together. We've cried together. Mm-hmm. We've prayed together. We have been brothers in Christ. Yes. And there's been no thunderous applause, and there's been no, for them, there's been no necessary attaboys. But I can tell you this, I can pick up the phone right now, mm-hmm. and I can call them. They're going to answer, and whatever I would need, they would drop it and come.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think we need to understand that it doesn't have to be social media friendly. It doesn't have to, it doesn't have to make it all look okay. We can have true friendships without ourselves being, what's the word I'm looking for? Without ourselves being drawn away by our own lust, I guess is what I'm going to say. We're drawn away into our own temptation of wanting it to be perfect. Oh. Have the relationship, be open with the people, and let God move. So what else, man?
No, that was so good, because you're right. It's all about keeping up with the Joneses nowadays, to include down to friends. So keep them close, but trust a few.
Yeah. And when you trust a few.
Yes.
Really trust them. Put your faith in Christ, but be vulnerable and let someone speak into you. Godly friendships will lead to successful relationships, which will then in turn take you to the next level in your life. I can tell you, looking back, and I'm going to wrap this podcast up, but looking back on my life, without a few key people, I would not be where I'm at today. People that have kept me in check, mm-hmm. people that have questioned me at times, and people that have breathed life into me, frankly. And it's important for all of us to observe that and to know that we can have people that are true friends. So, anything else today?
No, that's just good, man.
All right, guys, those of you listening, we love you. It is a honor to be able to bring this word to you on the Unconventional Journey podcast. We want you to tune in every week, share this podcast, let others know about what Jesus is doing through it, and please send us your feedback. We'd love to hear from you here on the Unconventional Journey podcast. If you have not already, please like our Facebook page, share it, invite your friends to it. We want to get this word out to as many as possible. Until next time, God bless. We love you.